so much of showing up as a whole person so that you can really be a team player is the inner work. Like the morning routine is, could you create the space for yourself? Mm-hmm. And are you willing to let it evolve?
And willing, like that's willing. The operative word. I love that word so much. Mm-hmm. Like everything can be boiled down to that, right? Mm-hmm. What are you willing and unwilling to do?
You are allowed to be whole. Allowed.
When you were born, you were whole. Perfect. And somewhere along the way, you learned that parts of you were not allowed here. What are the pieces of you that you've put into the basement? The parts of you that we cannot see anymore or that you cannot even remember? And how can you reclaim the wholeness that is your birthright? I'm Dr. Camille Joyce, and I'm here to join you in exploring these questions and many more you didn't even know you were allowed to ask. You are allowed to grow. You are allowed to dream. You are allowed to be exactly who you are and to become the next version of who you want to be. Start your journey of exploration with me right now on Allowed.
Welcome to Allowed. I'm your host, Dr. Camille Joyce, and I'm joined today by my friend Anjani Bhargava. You may have met Anjani in our previous episode where we talked about teams in the broadest possible sense of how teamwork is actually built into our DNA, the role of trust in teams, the challenges we face in the teams we're in at work. Those can be very hard to go through. And Anjani offered some very practical ways of understanding those dynamics, how to lean into them for our own growth and to improve the health of the teams that we're on. At the end of that conversation, Anjani began sharing with me some thoughts that you're going to get to hear today. We're going to share that clip in this episode. And those thoughts specifically were around turning your family into a high-performing team. A high-performing team in a very kind of humanistic sense as well. This is a team that, well, she'll tell you more about it, that trusts each other, that works well together, that can make decisions, move forward, and really co-create the life and the impact that you want to have. Both of us are mothers of elementary age children. Your kids are still home, Anjani?
No, they go to school.
They're now in school. Woohoo. So it was a little back and forth for a while.
Yeah.
And so we're here today to deep dive into how to turn your family into a team. And family could encompass you in a coupledom relationship. It could encompass you with your family of origin, your parents, your brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, extended family, whomever you consider family. You know, I know for a long time, really, like, I had two families. I had my blood family, and then I have my friend family. Mm-hmm. And some of them are so close that we literally, when we shop for houses, we're like, where are they going to sleep? Because that's how close. So I think I want you to, listeners, to just think of, you know, who feels like family to you, whatever the state that relationship is in. Mm-hmm. And Anjani is going to share some of the methods and things that she's done inside of her own family to create this really beautiful system that I know is going to have a lot of positive impact for you and each other and also in the world. I'm so excited to learn from you. I also brought here, if you're watching this video on YouTube or on allowedpodcast.com, I brought three of our four family notebooks that we've kept over the years, starting with my husband and I when we were dating, of like our visioning and our goals. And so fun to have these finally unpacked because I'm moving in. And maybe I'll dive into those and share some personal stuff too. So Anjani, thank you. Back to the show. Remind our listeners, please, who you are, what you're about, why you're here.
Well, I'm here because I absolutely love you and love what you're doing in this world. I am a mother of two young girls, 6 and 8. I work with CEOs and executive teams as a coach and as a culture changer. And who I am, I'm a human.
Yes. Oh, awesome. Okay, so let's begin with, I see in the corner of your screen, you know, there's a plant behind you and there's, it looks like a whiteboard, but I see some writing. What does that say? Because I know there's a story there.
Yeah. So I'm not a big, like, put words up on your wall kind of person, but this exists. My husband put this up in our bedroom because he was so moved. It says, life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. And I love, love, love this quote. Mm. And if you really knew me, you would know that I love getting mugs with quotes on them. but this particular quote sits on my wall. And the story behind that is my husband and I met at a wine tasting festival, and we live in Chicago. So, you know, torrential summer thunderstorms, and the sky turned green. And we were like,
what does that mean?
Tornado warning. Yes. Oh. Yes. And me, little me, who's from LA, when I first moved out here, I was like always watching for green skies because it's so scary.
Oh my gosh.
So the sky turned green and they were shuttling people back to the main center. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, it's just rain. Do you want to walk? And he's like, we're Indian, you know, like monsoons and stuff. And so, and so that got me to laugh. And we were walking and he starts belting out Bollywood music, like singing songs. And if you knew me, like I'm a pretty serious person. Like my life work is to dive into play and silliness. Mm-hmm. And my husband is all play and silliness.
So life work, meaning it's not how you naturally orient. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
It's your journey. Okay.
It's
yes.
my journey. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's like the thing I need to keep chiseling into. Mm-hmm. And there was this big giant noise, like a kaboom kind of noise. And we both fell to the ground. And when we came back up, if you're like envisioning in slow motion, come back up, look at each other, and we just both start laughing because we realized what had happened was a lightning bolt hit a tree that was less than 3 feet from us. And so we almost died. If we were any closer, you know, it would have died. And it was crazy. Like, and you know, Kenil, I believe in the universe, very much so. And I believe in, like, all the signs are there. You just have to open your eyes and look and be willing to receive. And so, like, lightning does strike, literally, literally.
And this is the first night you met your husband.
It was the first time I met my husband.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he also see it as a sign?
Yeah. His friends called me Lightning Girl, the lightning girl that he was going to marry.
That's so hot. lucky you.
And the weirdest thing was, so he proposed at that tree. The tree still exists. He proposed at that tree and it was a bright sunny day. And when he proposed, there was one cloud that came and started raining. and then it went away. And when my daughter was born, we took her there and the same thing happened.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's really, really freaky. And his boss at the time, who's a beautiful, beautiful man who he's known my husband for his entire career. And it was weird because, like, we didn't get a wedding gift from him. And it was kind of strange, right? Like, here's this guy who's made oodles and oodles of money building and selling companies. And it's not about the gift, but like we wanted to make sure we sent a thank you note if there was one, right?
Yeah.
And there was nothing. And it was just like weird. And then one day we got in the mail and we got this envelope and my husband starts crying and he's not a crier at all. Mm. And he said, Jeff just sent us the most like amazing thing. He wrote a poem. This Jeff guy is like 6'5", big burly dude. Mm-hmm. He wrote a poem. He sent it to the Chicago Botanic Garden, told them our story, and bought us the tree. And so now his poem hangs on the tree and it's our tree.
Oh my God. You are liquid magic. Oh my gosh. That's the most incredible story.
I know.
Do you have you made like a necklace that looks like that tree? Or I mean,
no,
that's
no, but
incredible.
Yeah,
oof.
We go and visit the tree every once in a while.
That's so beautiful. Mm. Well, all right. So there you go. So the quote on the wall to remind you of that special, you know, pivotal sign. from the universe.
And the quote on the wall to, yes, to say trust in the universe. And mm-hmm. it's all about how you look at it. Because yes. you could either say, I need the storm to pass, mm-hmm. or you can either say, I'm going to dance right now.
Yes. Oh, God, I'm so about that. I've been in a form, my family, actually, this is very relevant. My family has been in a form of rainstorm for a while, in the form of water, some, you know, water damage that happened in our house when there was it's pretty gross, right? Before Christmas, our main water line broke. I needed to find that. Couldn't figure out where's the water. Where's the water? But we hear the water rushing through the walls and we don't know where the water is. So eventually that was found. But in the meantime, it was the holidays and COVID. And in LA, there is a construction boom and everyone is building new houses and renovating, and it's impossible to get a handyman. So couldn't find a plumber or anyone to come fix it. We had no water all through the Christmas holidays. So no showers, no dishwashing. We're good campers. So we knew how to cope with it. And then right after that got fixed, the main sewer line backed up into our house. And so then they tore apart the floors and tore apart the walls. And then they drying everything out, that whole process. And people, when I've told them about it, and I realize I'm a dramatic person and things might sound kind of worse than they were, people are like, oh my gosh, it sounds so horrible. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, I am so grateful for that. Mm. Like, it was just hilarious. It's like, what's this now? My kids started being the same as me. Like, they'd hear a little noise and like, what is that? What does that mean? Is there water? What's happening? Mm-hmm. But it was, we flowed with it so much.
Yeah.
And it was universe is telling us it's time for you guys to move on. Totally. It's time for you to move on from this house. Like, we were starting to debate, maybe we don't want to sell our house. Maybe we want to stay in this very house forever. But there's also been all these, signs, and especially just pressure of all of us being home together. We're like, it's time for a change. Mm-hmm. So, I really, once the sewer thing happened, I'm like, okay, I won't doubt anymore. We're going for it. We're out of there. So now we're here in this awesome rental and looking for our dream home. And a client said, I love how you're in flow with chaos.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. Oh my gosh. I love that.
Rolling with it. And geez, COVID, such a guru. I think it really helped me with that. So really grateful. And I love that dancing in the rain image. I can't wait to sing musicals with your husband. So let's talk about now. So then kids come along.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've developed some frameworks, I think. Teach us about how you've turned your family into a team.
I don't think it was intentional, but I think it's just evolved. And I think it can be intentional. I don't know if there are any frameworks, but I can just talk about some of the things that we do. So as I said in the last episode, we created, I just wrote down things that were important and really simple. And again, it just kind of came through me. There wasn't a big planning session. There wasn't what are our family values, yada, yada, yada. Because my husband and I tried to do that and it was a lot. And it's a lot when you just articulate it. But I think the first thing I would say is when something wants to come through you, just let it come. And so I remember I wrote down on this little yellow sheet of paper, the small notepads. And it was just respect my family, respect my body, respect my mind, respect my house, respect my earth, something like that. Five very clear things. And we've just kept it. We have it downstairs on that same yellow sheet of paper. We refer to it all the time. When my daughter's doing negative self-talk, I will ask her which one of those, is she not paying enough attention to? And she'll say, respect my mind. I'm like, yep, that's right. And, and then when they will argue and say well, my friend can do so-and-so and I can do them, we can't do that. And it's like, that family is different and we are different. And that family has different values and different edicts and purpose and boundaries. And we have these. Mm-hmm. So this is what it means to be part of our family. Mm-hmm. And as they get older, the conversations are less like, this is the way we do things. And they're more, how should we do things? Mm-hmm. So incorporating and treating your children like actual humans mm-hmm. that have perspectives and points of views, you mm-hmm. know, depending on the age, I think is important too. So like those five things of those five forms of respect, they might morph over time. We might mm-hmm. add some because, you know, my daughters think that it's really important to have, but it would be a family conversation.
Family conversation. Absolutely. I love the respect framing. So that's, mm-hmm. that's really hitting me. And those sound like a set of shared commitments.
Yeah, totally. So I actually like that better than even values. Yes, mm-hmm. shared commitments.
This is what we're committed to here. And commitment mm-hmm. meaning we are going to do everything in our power, everything in our control mm-hmm. to live these commitments. Mm-hmm. So it's not a rule list, mm-mm. which might be more like a set of agreements, mm-hmm. right? In yeah. a kind of conscious leadership framework. So yeah. we did an episode 59 of a few episodes ago was all around creating clear agreements. And mm-hmm. I think that's something I find myself doing often. And it's part of the, you know, maybe the shadowy part of the culture of our little family here mm-hmm. is we're always kind of optimizing and finding new ways to make things like just how we want them. Mm-hmm. And so my husband and I will often come up with, oh, if we just had this rule, mm-hmm. then all of these things would work better. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we'll call out new rule. And everyone says new rule. And then we'll name the rule. But what's missing there, because as an Enneagram type 4, there's always something missing. What's missing, you know, that set of clear commitments. So yeah. we have values, but I love those commitments. So if somebody like myself or a listener wanted to approach that, I know it came through you, but how, if we have that intention, do you have any recommendations for how to get there?
I'd say just have a conversation with all the members of your family, of your team, and say, what's important to each of us and why is it important? And what do you want to live by? And you're right, like an agreement would be clean your room. Right? Mm-hmm. Like clean your room at this, you know, by this time, this should be done. Mm-hmm. And a commitment is we respect our house. Mm-hmm. You live in this house.
Mm-hmm. And I love there's a certain kind of spaciousness to it, but also an accountability. So you could ask a 5-year-old, what does it look like to respect your house?
Yeah, totally. Totally.
What are some ways that we can respect our house?
Totally. So to that end, we don't have rules.
Wow.
Right. We don't have rules. We have, I love that word. We have commitments. I'm always going back to these commitments and they're holding me accountable too. Like, you know, I have a very elaborate morning routine and my younger daughter will be like, Mommy, you didn't do your morning routine today. That's not respecting your mind.
Oh my
gosh.
And
your body. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right.
So awesome. So awesome. Okay. Morning routine, #, morning routine. We need to hear it. Tell us about your morning routine.
Oh my God. There's a short version and a long version. So the short version is breathing exercises, a bit of meditation, and 5-minute journal.
Mm-hmm. Love that 5-minute journal. Oh, we had one of the creators of 5-Minute Journal on the show.
I know.
A little bit ago. I am such a fan of that.
Kids do it too.
Oh, it's awesome. Did you get the kid version?
They have the kid version.
Yeah.
And then the long morning routine, which, you know, I'm lucky if I have like a day a week where I can do it because it's like 2 full hours, is the breathing exercises, then a round of yoga. I do like 10 to 15 sun salutations. Mm-hmm. Then I dance. Mm. And then I have intentions that I kind of repeat. And then the 5-minute journal. And then I take a cold shower.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah. I wish I had more. I wish I created more spaciousness to do that. It really feels good when I do it.
I've had all different kinds of morning routines over the years. And right now, I'm doing very little. I'm constantly practicing, allowing it to be just as nourishing as my old ones. Mm. And literally what it consists of is I make lemon water and mm-hmm. I drink it. Mm-hmm. And then I make coffee and I put all kinds of other things in it. Mm. And that's it. But I'm very interested in returning to my morning pages. And
speaking of which, the lemon water, I do that too. I forgot to say that. So warm lemon water, the mm-hmm. first thing. And then what I've been adding to that recently mm-hmm. is I chop up, and I learned this from my dad, because this he's convinced that this has cured him from all his like high blood pressure and ailments of all sorts. Mm-hmm. I chop up ginger, mm-hmm. raw ginger and garlic, and just like scoop that up and eat it.
Yeah. You eat it?
Mm-hmm.
You don't put it in the lemon water?
No. Whoa. So no powder, no anything, just like chop.
Oh my gosh.
Chop ginger, chop garlic, put it in a spoon, put it in your mouth and swallow it with the lemon water.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm going to start that.
Yeah.
I do put ginger in, and when I'm sick, I put the garlic with some cayenne pepper.
Yeah.
This is interesting. So the morning routine,
yeah.
my below the line excuse
yeah.
for why I am not doing more that would serve my mind and my body right now
yeah.
is that I will get interrupted by my kids.
Mm.
So I am in victim mode about that. Mm. I'm on the drama triangle. Mm-hmm. And it's happening to me. Mm-hmm. And I am not willing mm-hmm. to get creative mm-hmm. and to stand for what I know is really important for me.
Yeah.
So coach me through that, please. How do you make it happen? So, you know, it'd be easy for you to give me some advice, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. But I know that I know you to be an excellent coach. And mm-hmm. one of the big distinctions between, you know, a true coach mm-hmm. and a person who wants to give advice is mm-hmm. the coach mm-hmm. helps you find your own answers.
Yeah.
Through inquiry and discovery and curiosity.
Yeah.
So would you mind coaching me through that for a couple minutes?
Sure.
I really want to get there.
So when you do your morning routine and when you feel all the glory of it, what are you feeling?
Inspired, clear, directed. I have this feeling like my cup is full, my energy reserves are full. So I can kind of accommodate and respond to my family and everybody else's needs throughout the day without going into drama about it, because I have taken care of myself, so things don't deplete me.
So what I hear you say is it's self-nourishing, and it's time where you're giving to yourself, and you giving to yourself thereby gives to your family.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Absolutely does. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what I also heard is that then the reason that your excuse for not doing it is that the kids interrupt you.
Yeah. So when I sit down to meditate, for instance, mm-hmm. You know, I have not recreated a beautiful meditation space like I used to have. Mm-hmm. So I make myself unhappy by telling myself it's not beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel nervous when I sit down mm-hmm. to meditate, mm-hmm. anticipating interruption, and mm-hmm. I become a little hypervigilant, like mm-hmm. listening for any noise outside my door, which mm-hmm. might indicate that someone's coming to barge in and ask me a question or something.
Mm-hmm. What do you get from that?
What are the goodies I get for being in drama about it?
Mm-hmm. Or just some of those things that you said. So you're in anticipation, waiting for the kids to interrupt you. You are looking at the space saying, oh, and there's some self-criticism and self-blame that I mm-hmm. hear.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that serve you? Because I do fundamentally believe that we don't do anything that is out of service for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just mm-hmm. mismatched, right? So
right.
how does that serve you?
Well, it buys me an extra hour of sleep in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm a night person. Mm-hmm. And so it's if I go to bed early, I will wake back up again for many hours. So I've found that my own rhythm works better if I go to bed a little later, like 11. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of naturally wake up at 6:30 or 7. Unfortunately, that's like also shortly before my own kids wake up. So sometimes I beat them downstairs and I make the lemon water before they get there. Mm-hmm. But that extra hour of sleep, like I'm really aware that the amount of sleep I get is so critical for me. Mm-hmm. And it's also, I haven't been like a person who's a fan of sleep. You know, I'm much more a fan of like being awake. I even like the feeling of being like really strung out and super tired. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I operate really, really well that way, but it's not sustainable. So that's one thing I get, is I get the extra sleep. The other thing I get is I get to be of service to my kids and to my husband. And now that we have a dog, we've had a dog for about a year, the routine has changed a lot because he leaves the house and takes the dog on a walk, and he likes to do it a certain way, and he likes to have the dog like running and like in things I don't want to do. So because he's gone, I stay home with the kids and I'm not out in my meditation shed. Because they get scared if I'm not in the house. So I like that there's a way that I can help make the morning easier for him and give the kids some love before they start school and get them all ready.
So as I hear you, what's interesting to me is when I asked you, how do you feel when you do this? And what I heard was a lot around, it's my self-care and I'm giving to myself so that I can give to others. And there was this balance between, you know, for myself makes me a better mom and wife. And what I hear you saying that you're replacing that with, it's interesting because what I'm hearing you say is I'm giving myself sleep. I'm giving myself the permission to sleep. And I'm curious if that's a form of self-care. So that need for self-care, and I'm giving myself to my children.
I feel like what I'm doing is I'm kind of, you know, back to the conversation about flowing with chaos, is I'm being with just what is right now. I have two little kids. I have a child who's scared to be alone. I have a dog. I have a husband and we have school. So I'm, instead of kind of trying to fight it, I'm remembering now when I had the really long morning routine, like the, hour and a half, 2 hour. I would feel all those great feelings, but then I started feeling a little nervous sometimes before I'd go back into the house, of scared of what I was going to walk into, of like how panicked everyone would be and stressed. So I do like that there's just like an ease to it. And I think a lot of it is there's identity issues I have around it. And I'm just like, okay, just you're a mom. Just you're momming right now. Yes, I dropped my kids off in my pajamas this morning, like roll with it. It's cool. So there is a lot of self-care in it. And I think it's like, but what I don't like about it is that victimhood feeling of I'm so scared of being interrupted that I'm not even willing to do this thing I love so much.
And I'm curious, I wonder though, is that a story that is just like hanging out here, right? Because what I'm hearing again is, you are giving yourself self-care. It's the self-care that you might be needing, sleep. And can you accept yourself for the chaos that you're in and giving yourself, could it be possible that you're giving yourself exactly what you need?
Oh my gosh. I totally see how I'm being a four. I'm making something be missing. I'm calling it missing.
Because what I'm not hearing you say like, oh, this morning routine gives me so much that is missing from my life today. Like I'm not hearing that.
Yeah.
And unless the pain outweighs
the gain. True. So it is respecting my body and my mind and my family. Totally.
Sounds like it.
Thank you so much.
Well, and I'll say one more thing, right? So I'll ask, there's a willingness question. So given all of that, given that it sounds like you are doing what is in service of you and your family, And given that there's this want to incorporate some of what you used to have back, mm-hmm. even if it's not a, you know, like true gain want, mm-hmm. what would you be willing to do? Because right now it sounds like you're unwilling to see mm-hmm. your meditation area. It's you're unwilling mm-hmm. to prioritize your morning routine over your kids. And so mm-hmm. is there anything, if you like really tune in to your want and your energy, mm-hmm. is there anything that you would be willing to do?
Yes. What came up is I'd be willing to write down one word. Mm. So that's a substitution for 25 minutes of journaling mm-hmm. That feels like interesting and like I'd really learn a lot and discover a lot by having that constraint and then I could put them on little post-its and stick them up in the kitchen because that's where I'll be probably when the word comes to me and it's just an opportunity to tune into like what wants to come through me that day.
Yeah And in doing that, would you feel that self-care and that self-nourishment so that you can then go and provide to others as well?
I don't know, TBD. What I do feel, in a certain sense, yes, because I do feel my creative energy come up there, and it's more like it's play. Mm. And I actually like that it is public inside of our family, and it's me like having a ritual that is creative that the kids can see and we can talk about, and maybe they won't care. Maybe they'll tear them off the wall, but then I'll get tax. I'll get them tax. Yeah, awesome. I love it. I'll play with that. I'll report back to you.
That would be great.
I'll report back to all of you. Anjani, thank you so much for that beautiful coaching. What I love about what we just covered there is it underscores how interdependent we are in our families and how teamwork is really this integration of the we and the I and the it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the we being all those relationships in my family and how we operate as a family whole. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what it would take for me to create space and boundaries mm-hmm. as a way to be of service. Like, mm-hmm. so that would be like a, how does our family operate around boundaries? Mm-hmm. And then the I being me doing that, me having that time and space and all the inner work that I am mm-hmm. trying to do here with Anjani's coaching, to get myself to that place where I am showing up whole. Mm. And the it, of course, is just the morning routine. Mm-hmm. So morning, mm-hmm. you know, there's so much stuff about morning routines, and mm-hmm. we've covered it. Like episode 43 was all about morning routines. Episode 44 was Alex Icahn, who created the 5-Minute Journal. And I'm really into it, but I think sometimes in this busy commercial world, we get so tactical. And it's about buying a bunch of products.
Totally.
And so, but so much of showing up as a whole person so that you can really be a team player is the inner work. Like the morning routine is, could you create the space for yourself? Mm-hmm. And are you willing to let it evolve?
And willing, like that's willing. The operative word. I love that word so much. Mm-hmm. Like everything can be boiled down to that, right? Mm-hmm. What are you willing and unwilling to do? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If there was no right or wrong, but just what are you willing and unwilling to do?
If you were allowed to do anything you wanted to.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. One other routine that our family has that might be in service, and I don't know if you and your husband have this, I'm sure you have some version of it, is every Sunday morning as a team before the kids wake up, we do an hour, like half an hour to an hour. It's usually around an hour of conscious listening. Yeah. And it's, we learned
how does
this
that work?
At a CLG couples retreat. Mm-hmm. And it's like you're in forum and the most important person is just listening to you. And for my husband, who always wants to solve things, it's really taught him how to listen. Mm-hmm. And so we check in, you know, with body sensation, feeling state, and next thought. Mm-hmm. And then we just do a round of, if you really knew me, you would know that. Ooh. And we just listen. And sometimes we, you know, like the person says something, it's like, oh, of course that's what's on their mind. And sometimes it's like, whoa, I didn't even know that was swimming around. And, you know, you do increments and then the other person says, what I heard you say is, mm-hmm. so then, you know, there's that exchange. But it's really, it's lovely. It sounds kooky to say, but it's lovely. And we've been doing it now for like 18 months every Sunday.
Wow.
And it's lovely to be heard. It's lovely to have space held by your partner. And yeah, it's brought us closer. And then our kids see us doing it, right? So they like, they'll wake up at some point in between. And so I think that's important too. It's all those things that little ones observe.
Yes. Right. Yes. So beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, we're nearing the close. So I would love if you could share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you, follow you, learn more about your work. I mean, I am so, I have a gazillion questions I could continue to ask you about this topic of family as team and how you create it. I mean, the architecture of that is so beautiful. The commitments, but no rules. Wow. Poof, yeah. Mind blown.
And I want to know what's in those books of yours that you shared.
Oh, so my gosh. I'm
very curious. Well,
you know, this is one of our favorite, I'll just real quickly show you. So this is one of our favorite ones because this was, you know, while we were planning our wedding, this was my journal for when we would have conversations together. Mm. And sometimes, you know, we have a kind of sometimes frustrating pattern sometimes of debating and rehashing the same things again and again and again, trying to make all these decisions about our life, and where are we going to live and who are we about? Yeah. And things can become existential quite quickly, which is super annoying. So now that we capture it in a, you know, some sort of like a graphic form or a mind map or a chart or a table, I bring this stack of notebooks when we're going to have one of these big conversations. And I'm like, look at how many years we've had that conversation for. And we land in the same place every time.
That's awesome.
And it is awesome because it's a reaffirmation that, you know, we feel lost about the it sometimes.
Yeah.
But we still want to be the same thing. We still want the same things. And, you know, we have a North Star. It's like six words, beauty, adventure, community, health, impact, and abundance. And so that's on my blackboard in my office. And when we get lost, we look to that as a test of, are we living in line with those, I guess you could call them values or commitments.
Yeah, and it sounds very similar to the commitments.
I guess they are commitments.
Yeah.
And so in this house hunt process that we're in, it's so fascinating, you know, because our little dark sides show up in the form of trying to make things really, really complicated and hard and time consuming. And I am so like, because it always is shrouded in, it looks like an opportunity, right? It's like we could remodel this house like crazy and that might take 2 years, but we'd double the value or whatever our story is. And there's like a pattern that we have sometimes of honoring optimization over lifestyle and just over like presence, really, and sanity, health. So this beautiful dream house presented itself to us not once but twice as our initial offer was rejected. And it's, we're grappling with, is this too good for us?
Oh,
like, is
boy.
This too beautiful, too abundant? And so I just keep going back to that list. And I'm like, if I really surrender to these highest commitments that we share, if I'm really committed, then it's not about me. And it's about what a trust fall it is and how brave, how courageous it would be for us to treat ourselves so well.
I love that.
So
love that. What a great way to get out of upper limiting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so great. That's what, right. I'm curious, what Enneagram type is Roy?
He's a three.
He's a three
with, I think he's bi-winged. I think he has a two. So he's a three, so he's an achiever type. And we talked all about Enneagram and achiever types. I had Aaron Rookie on the show a few episodes ago. So he wants to do, go, go, go. And he's a very high achiever. He's achieved a lot in his life. He's a very like go, go, go. and check things off the list. And and sometimes I was telling him last night, like, it feels like I'm running a marathon sometimes, and I'm at the 26th mile, and I find out it's actually an ultra marathon, and there's 26 more miles ahead of me still. And I'm like, it feels like it just like, you know, because I'm not that. So, but you know, he creates an awesome life for us. His willingness to work and logisticize is epic. His craftiness and cleverness, and it's his productivity is amazing. So I like that I can rest into not being the one to do that. And you know, we both are working with our shadows, like with his four wing of being, you know, like me, and sometimes there's missing and things are dark. That always comes up. And so we're getting better and better at recognizing, when is it our, you know, our ego? When is it, when is it our higher self? When is it what's to come through us? And so just trusting when things come easily, that's the right path. Like when things just show up and it's like, oh my gosh, look at this first house we looked at.
Yeah.
Beautiful dream house.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll keep doing our work and looking, like crap, you know?
Yeah.
No, just allow it.
So that's great that you guys can do this work together. Mm-hmm. So great. I love that.
Blessing. All right, Anjani, we are done with this episode for today. It's so great to have you back on the show.
So great to be here.
I'm excited for our guests to get to know you more. So we're going to link to Anjani's work in our show notes. We'll link to Evolution, which is a collective that she and I are associated with, evolution.team. We will also link to your brand new shiny website and your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah.
So please do get in touch with Anjani, and we will probably be having her back on the show soon. I would love for you to join and get to be part of these conversations and really applying the learning of all of this work we cover here: conscious leadership, shadow, Enneagram, a huge realm of really cutting edge personal development stuff, and applying it to your life in a way that recognizes and challenges you to be the CEO of your own life and to really lead and create the thing that you are here to create with ease and joy. All right. We'll talk to you guys next time. Thanks for showing up, for yourself, making time, and I'll see you next week.